Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 168, recorded September 14th, 2010. YouTube Time Machine. Net at Night is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to night.hover.com. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
Hello. Sorry. Hello, Toronto. Come in, Toronto.
I'm just cracking up because of the way that you said that in such a deep voice. I was trying to imitate you, but...
Hi, Amber. How are you today?
I'm not able to throw my voice like that unless I start smoking a pack a day, but I don't think I'll do that.
Don't smoke a pack a day. You look so fresh and lovely. It's almost as if you were on a modeling assignment for CoverGirl this morning.
Oh, Leo. Yes, I did go to a little photo shoot for a new show that I might be working on. It's still in the initial phases. They're pretty close to getting it approved, but I'll be able to talk about it a little bit more, I hope, in the next month or so. It's kind of an interesting show and definitely has a tech angle as well, obviously.
Oh,
that's why I'm involved. But so, the photo shoot, not a fan.
It was still photos.
Yeah, still photos. And so you stand there and you pose. You can imagine it because people are using digital cameras, how many photos they take. You've been on lots of these shoots. And it just gets a little boring standing there,
turn
smiling.
Your head,
don't
turn
smile.
Your head,
turn your head. Turn just a little bit, lift your chin a little bit. And you just can't really talk. And it's always awkward. I'm a talker, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't talk because you'll get a picture of you going, and that's no good. Yeah. So I did. I used to work with a guy who would always say, okay, look away from me. Now look towards me. And he'd snap the picture as you go like this. And it was just really silly.
Really silly. So
it's a silly business, isn't it?
It is.
What we do for our art.
Let's get
to the news of the week. But in just a little bit, we're going to talk to two guys who have a new site called YouTube Time Machine. What's that?
Yeah, this is kind of a fun site. I don't want to give too much away, but they created and they've gotten lots of attention online. And the idea being that it is a different way to be able to view YouTube and something that would be very interesting to people who like to go back and look at old videos, whether they're sports videos or entertainment videos. It's a whole lot of fun. They're also fans of the TWiT network and thought we'd have them on and chit-chat a little bit about their creation and some of the buzz that it's getting online as well.
It's really interesting, how people are building on top of YouTube. You saw this story last week of the kid who, as a Stanford computer science student, he wrote after he saw Google Instant, their instant search on Wednesday, he wrote YouTube Instant on Thursday, tweeted it, got a tweet back from Chad Hurley, the CEO of YouTube, saying, nice stuff. You looking for work? The kid tweeted back. His name is Feroz. He tweeted back. He said, is that a serious offer? Chad said, yeah, are you willing to drop out of school? DM me. And now here on his blog, Feroz.org, here Feroz is meeting Chad Hurley at YouTube. I mean, talk about a way of, this is amazing. It's so cool.
I know. We live in such a different world. I just read about that on Waxy Links. And just so awesome to think how one individual who probably would just die to get a job like that can actually get attention from someone as high up as Chad Hurley. So
he's had hundreds of thousands of hits already. And, they would be smart to hire him. Look how clever this is. I'm typing Amber Mac. Let's see. There it is. And there's Amber MacArthur. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I just think this is incredible. So if you're, I'll tell you, and I tell this to my kids, learn computers, learn programming. There's never been a better time to be a self-starter, to be an entrepreneur, I think.
I totally agree. I mean, I even think I was chatting with someone. We're doing some work on the consulting side with a group of high schools who are looking to use social media to get those students engaged. And my big thing was also get them understanding how to network on the web and meet people and, you know, build up their profiles and protect themselves and all those things, because it's so important in terms of the way that they could get jobs. And I think it's key for anyone who is in high school or even younger to really understand technology these days.
So did you get an invitation to this event? I guess you're in Toronto. You're probably not going to get invited to the Twitter event.
Oh, the Twitter event. No, I did not. Leo, did you?
No. I've made so many enemies now in the technology business. Well, there's two possibilities. One, that people don't, you know, have any idea who I am, or that I do a radio show that millions of people listen to every week, or a podcast network that millions of people listen to every week. And maybe, you know, maybe I just am under the radar. I don't think that's the case with Twitter. The other possibility is that they hate me. Because look at this TechCrunch article by M.G. Siegler. Just about everyone else in the Bay Area media business, we were instructed yesterday to show up at Twitter for an event taking place around 4 this afternoon. Just about everybody else, except me.
But Leo, I think that's because you are objective about things and you may criticize companies.
You're spinning this so nicely.
You know what? I'm serious, because I've realized this. I just started writing for the Globe and Mail in the spring, and I wrote an article about Apple, and it was 5 things Apple did wrong in 2010. And literally, like, I'm getting no love from the Apple PR guy at all. Like, not really included in anything, you know, that they're always flying people down to San Francisco.
I think that's dumb. Because if it immediately becomes apparent that it's childish. A company should not reward the press for being positive. Well, I don't know. Maybe they should. I can't tell them how to do their business. It just seems stupid.
But I think that's the way that they operate. You know, they don't want anyone to stand in their way. And if you like what they do, then they'll get all cozy with you. And then the worst thing is, and then you get paid, and then you don't tell anyone that you're reporting on that. And so it leads to this whole group of people who don't disclose that they are, you know, cozying up to big tech companies. I see this all the time. And if you try to be transparent and upfront, you're not going to get any love. You're not get invited to the Twitter party. I think that's the reality of the situation.
So the Twitter community of Twitter folks is going crazy. Ev Williams tweeted yesterday, sleep, obviously losing functionality. Big day tomorrow. Patrick Ewing, tomorrow. So what do you think it is, Amber MacArthur? What is it Twitter's going to do?
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of speculation here. I think that I do agree with what TechCrunch is saying in that post they just showed, where it's possibly inline pictures and videos in the Twitter stream. I think that makes the most sense. I did check out Read Write Web, and they had a list. I'm just going to find it now, of the top 3 things that it could be. I don't know. What do you think, Leo?
Well, you know, I use Brizly, so I already have inline video and everything else. So according to Mike Mettinson, writing on the Read Write Web, they say analytics possible, premium business accounts. We keep waiting for Twitter to kind of make any inroads on monetizing, so that kind of makes sense. Reputation tracking, that's kind of interesting, kind of like Mr. Tweet does, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Inline video seems like such a minor deal, although if you're Twitter, it's a big deal. You saw that somebody at Twitter mentioned that they have several dedicated servers just for Justin Bieber. I don't know if you watched the Video Music Awards on MTV.
Yes, I did.
But Twitter featured very prominently. They kept going to a big screen there. Now 1 million tweets about the VMA. Number 1 tweet, Justin Bieber. Number 2, Lady Gaga.
Madness.
Well, clearly MTV has embraced it, which is why, by the way, I'm not surprised that Twitter pays no attention to me, because compared to, you know, mainstream media, we're nothing. So this is really, I mean, this is a big opportunity for Twitter. I just don't know, because they have been very careful. At first, they were very careful not to make the Twitter platform too complex, which turned out to be the right thing to do, right?
Definitely.
Then now they have to be careful, because, you know, you make one change in it and the impact is massive when you have that much traffic going on. So I don't know. I think putting video and audio or pictures in the stream, I don't think so. I think that that's the cost of that is prohibitive.
Yeah, they wouldn't try that. I don't know. You know, like I hope they don't do too much. I mean, I hate to say that, but I am agreeing with you that the thing that makes Twitter so great is it's so simple. The thing that I sometimes don't like about Facebook is that anytime they add anything, it just gets more and more complex, and it's already cumbersome to navigate that site.
It's a very big risk. Twitter, I think, has been wise in hindsight to keep their site very simple. You know, they don't do one of the things I always wanted and wished for was threaded conversations, and it's why I keep trying things like Jaiku and Pounce and Buzz, all of whom added threaded conversations, but they just don't get traction, and I think it's because that's just too complicated for most people.
Yeah, unfortunately, but I agree. That's the biggest issue I have with Twitter is you can't really follow along with conversations that are happening. I can't tell you how many times someone tweets me or says, hey, you know, yes, I agree with you. I have no idea what they're talking about because I might have tweeted it, you know, five messages ago and 2 days ago. And so there's no way to really continue one stream of thought.
You know what I've been using, and I really like it, and I'm going to recommend it as a Twitter client. We talked last week about the fact that most people who tweet use the web, you know, not that they use their browser on the Twitter site. But I happen to like clients on my phone, clients on my desktop. And lately I've been using, and I really recommend it, the new Seismic Desktop 2, which just came out. Have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't.
It's a free download from seismic.com. It integrates Foursquare, a bunch of different accounts. You can have Foursquare, Twitter, Buzz. They've got channels, they've got plugins. So I have, for instance, my Google Reader channel in there. You can have the Huffington Post. It becomes really an information desktop. And it is, and Facebook, of course, and it is a really good way, as it turns out, to follow conversations because your at replies go here and it's very easy to reply back to them. So they have built-in Twitter trends. They have built-in user lists. I mean, this is a really powerful client. But the plugin architecture to me is with these additional channels is what's going to be really, really interesting.
Do they have stats or anything, Leo, if you're interested in that? Because that's why I use Hootsuite.
Yeah, Hootsuite's fantastic. Hootsuite's really designed for groupware. In fact, we were going to use Hootsuite for our Twit accounts. You know, my son Henry said last night, he said, you know, everybody, all my friends think you invented Twitter. Because everybody knows Twitter, nobody knows Twit. And I said, yeah, that's kind of a problem, Henry. He said, well, why did you name yourself after Twitter? I said, we didn't. Twitter named itself after me or something because we predated Twitter by a couple of years. And he said, why'd they do that? I said, well, actually, the story is apparently that they couldn't come up with a name, so they put all the name possibilities in a hat. And Twitter was the one that came out of the hat.
That's so funny.
And Ev was on with us. Remember, we had Ev on a few years ago. And he said, yeah, we knew about Twit. We didn't. I don't think they thought Twitter was going to be that big, or they weren't worried about it anyway. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah. I don't think they definitely weren't thinking it was going to be that big. Because I listened to that interview not that long ago, and it was very interesting. You could tell that Ev just, you know, he thought it was just another little experiment because it started as an internal project, right? It was something to help them communicate within the walls of the company and not necessarily to go public. And obviously that changed fairly quickly.
Nobody thought Twitter would be what it is. I mean, nobody thought we'd be watching the Video Music Awards on MTV and there'd be Twitter so front and center.
They had a Twitter VJ, Leo, if you've ever heard of that before.
Wow.
They call it a TVJ, I think. That's a new thing.
So I would guess my prediction for a Twitter announcement at this point. Let's see. What would I do if I were Twitter at this point? I don't know. I mean, you're going to do something that's more towards that end of the business, right? To the public end of the business. You don't want to change things up too much. I guess a new web page. It could be. You know what I'm excited about? YouTube streaming. I wanted to be part of this. I didn't get invited to. YouTube has four content partners that they're going to test streaming like we're doing right now with Howcast, Next New Networks, Rocket Boom, and Young Hollywood.
Yeah, so they will now be testing this out for a couple of days, doing live streaming. So, you know, they've experimented with it before for some big concerts, like a U2 concert not that long ago. But it seems like they are trying to push this. So it could be public one day and we could get lots of programming that way instead of turning on our televisions.
Well, and I would love it because I the more partners we have, the better. Is it on now? Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it out yet, actually. I should check it out.
Yeah, YouTube.
Let's see.
Streaming. Yeah, this will kill our bandwidth.
Yeah.
I wonder if Colleen's involved in this at all. It's youtube.com/user/live. Is that it? Or is this... No, this might be... This is... No, this is going way back to 2008.
It might be over. Their little test might be over, because I know they were doing it for 2 days, but I think the news is a couple of days old, if I'm correct.
I missed it.
So they may just have some...
it's amazing, though. I mean, they talk about throwing a lot of bandwidth at something.
Yeah.
They could do it. Kidding. They could do it.
Yeah, they can definitely do it. Now, this next item I thought was kind of fun, because you and I always talk about how the internet is reshaping the news business. And we know from working in traditional television and talking to people who are at newspapers how much it's changing. But it seems as though news consumption is on the rise in the U.S. thanks to the internet. This is a study from Pew Research. Now, this didn't really surprise me, Leo. I thought, of course,
well, what a shock. Internet use on a rise. Wow. Who would have thought that?
I know, but it turns out that I guess in the 90s there was a sharp dip as far as the number of people consuming news information, and so it's being built back up again. So when there's one stat here that says only 9% of people receive news from the internet and mobile alone, that
really?
Kind of surprised me, because you know I get almost all of my news from the internet now, pretty much exclusively. Like I'd say 90%. I don't know about you, where you get most of your news, but I'm assuming it's a similar situation.
Oh, 98%, 99%. I mean, Jennifer gets a daily newspaper delivered, and occasionally I look at it. In fact, sometimes I get a little nostalgic. I'll look at it and go, well, that's kind of fun. It was kind of fun to read a paper. But
I know.
I use the iPad. First thing in the morning, I get up, I scan through news on the iPad. I scan through news in my reader. I thought that the silly article about RSS being dead. This is just link bait. You know, I don't know if you saw this big fight going on.
Yeah.
Apparently, Bloglines is going under, which is an RSS reader. Google Reader itself, somebody said, has a 27%, I don't know if it's ComScore, said 27% drop in use this year. But I still use it in third-party applications because it's a great way to scan headlines. Of course, we're in the business.
Yeah.
I don't know if normal people... Scoble says, I don't have to go out and look for the news. My network will bring stories to me by just watching Twitter. And I guess that's true. I know what's going on.
That's true. The only thing is, and I've heard a lot of people who are critical of that agree with this statement, is that I know from Chris, because he just ordered the newspaper to come to our house maybe 2 weeks ago. And what I find is I'm sitting down all of a sudden and I have the newspaper in front of me and I'm reading all of these articles that I probably would never have read before. You know, I would never have found them
online.
Serendipity. I know. And exactly. And so I think it's, Clay Shirky, maybe, who is talking about this. I saw him doing an interview, I think, with Fareed Zakaria on CNN. And he was saying exactly this, is that if you only get your news from your own personal networks online, then you'll never have the chance of, you know, just stumbling across something different that, you know, may interest you and is totally outside of your interests. So I would agree with that, because literally just having the newspaper come to my home has been a different experience, and one I have to say I kind of like.
It's fun also to read articles that were written like by somebody who can write and they put some effort into it, and but on the other hand, I'm reading an article, I'm going, I want to share this, where do I click to add this,
and you're alone, you're not gonna cut it out and scan it and put it out on the internet.
Well, you know, and I've done this almost my whole life as a radio host and a TV host. I used to, before the radio show, I would spend the week cutting up stuff, and I'd bring a folder. Most hosts used to do this, a folder with newspaper and magazine clippings in it, stuff to talk about on the radio show. We don't do that anymore. You don't need to do that anymore.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I don't know if you've done this recently, but I used to say, okay, well, I'm never going to get a newspaper ordered to my house because I already know everything. Mm. You know, I've seen it online. But the reality is, when I actually pick up a newspaper, that's not the case. I mean, there's so much more content in there, and it's more in depth than anything I would probably ever stumble across online. But I feel a little naive over the past few years for kind of ignoring that whole print world. So I'm glad it's been reintroduced in my life in some ways.
You know what, though? I'm going to make one little recommendation. This is Google Reader, and I do use it. And there's one thing I follow. What's hot in Google Reader that is a really good way of getting some serendipity. These are posts that people are sharing in a large number on Google Reader.
Okay.
here's a clipping, an obituary from Mr. Charles Unsworth, who passed away in Rome, Georgia, a couple of days ago. It says, in lieu of flowers, the family respectfully asks donations be set to the American Cancer Society or the campaign of whoever is running against President Obama in 2012. Yes. Here's somebody who really wants to. So now, you know, I would not have seen that probably if yeah. I weren't subscribing to this crazy feed of things that people really like in Google Reader. So I think there's some serendipity. It just depends what you subscribe to, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be on dead trees.
No. All right. So, Leo, we have a few other links. We have our site of the night and then our guests. Do you want to do
Let's get a commercial in here real quickly. And okay. then the site of the night. And the reason I say commercial, because this is very appropriate for the site of the night. It's domain name registration done right. With the folks at Hover.com. Hover's up your way, I think.
It's
a two cows company.
Yeah, it's a two cows company, and a bunch of great people who work over there. Andy Walker is now over at two cows. We used to do Call for Help with him, and it's a really cool service that allows you to register for a domain name. And the biggest thing that I love about it, aside from the interface and the website being easy to use, is their customer support. I don't know if you knew this, Leo, but if you call Hover after you've signed up and registered for some of their services, they have a no wait policy. That means a no hold policy. That means you will get through to a person immediately to get help with anything that you've registered as far as domains and other packages on Hover. So I think that's worth it in itself.
Well, and I'm a big fan of Hover because it doesn't have all of those extra clicks. So some of those other sites, they try to upsell you on everything, you know, from soup to nuts. Hover is just domain name registration. They help you if you want to do email forwarding. Everybody, I think, really ought to have at least register a domain name that's kind of yours that you can use for your email, so that whatever you use, Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo Mail, people, when they send me email to leo@leoville.com, I actually use leoville.com. That's my kind of personal address to forward it to the service that I'm using. So I don't ever have to tell anybody my address has changed. I always use the same name. I registered my kids' names for them. Abby Laporte and HenryLaporte.com, because I think it's important. I think going forward, it'll be very important to have that. The price is right. The service is great. And if you'll save 10% right now if you go to night.hover.com. There are many ways to register domain names. And if you've tried some of the others, I just would like you to take a look at Hover.com. I've moved all my domains over to Hover. It's just really fantastic. Night, N-I-G-H-T, .hover.com. You may remember them as Domains Direct. They've been in this business for a long time. They're ICANN certified, and they're just the best. We thank them for supporting Net at Night. All right, our site of the night.
Yeah, before we get our guests on, this is a site of the night that I wanted to mention last week, but we ran out of time. It's called lanyard.com. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's the social conference directory. So the idea here is that you go to the site and you log in using your Twitter username and password.
Do that.
And then
you
can find out within seconds of logging in who within your social network is going to what conference, what they're talking about as far as the conference, if they're speaking there, and all of this other great information. So it's a really cool service.
I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
It does say, wow, that's amazing. It knows somehow that I'm speaking at Le Web, which is absolutely true.
I know.
I didn't put anything in there. I just logged in with my Twitter credentials. Wow. And these are some conferences that other people I know are going to.
Exactly. It has a nice calendar, so you can see, you know, if, hey, I should check out this conference because there's, you know, 10 of my friends who are planning to go there.
And then it shows who's going to this conference, so by their little icon here. So, for instance, an event apart in D.C. in a couple of days, two friends are speaking, one friend is attending, and one friend is tracking.
Isn't it fun?
It's amazing.
I love it.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, because I think we get so bombarded these days, especially with tech conferences, and I see so many of them pass me by. I don't know if I should go to them, if they're, you know, worth attending. And then all of a sudden I can check out and I find, oh my gosh, I can't believe that one of my friends is speaking in the Netherlands at this really awesome web conference. And it's a lot of fun just to look through this and then eventually get more information about it.
So there is a site called PlanCast that's kind of more work because you have to enter it in. And I like PlanCast. I don't know if you've ever used PlanCast.com.
No, I haven't.
But it's just like Twitter. You sign in with your username and so forth. Let me just see if I can remember my username. I can't. But it'll show you the people you're following, where they're going, what they're doing. We used it at South by Southwest. It was a great way to figure out what seminars people were going to be attending and so forth. But I think Lanyard might be a kind of a credible alternative to this. And a lot easier. You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything. I told you.
It just happens. Like, it's magic.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So totally free to use.
It's one of those weird ones. LANYRD. That second A is missing. LANYRD.
It's perfect for geeks.
Perfect. Shall we get our guests on? Why don't you tell us, while I'm doing this, what the YouTube Time Machine is all about?
Sure. So I stumbled across this again on Waxy Links, which I absolutely love. He has lots of great websites. And the YouTube Time Machine is a place where you can go and you can literally browse different YouTube videos based on time and history. So if you love stuff from the 80s, but you only want sports, you can see 80s sports videos. If you just want to see music videos from the 90s, you can browse YouTube videos that way. So it's a fun little project, and I know the guides have gotten lots of attention for it. It's been kind of a pet project of theirs, and it's growing, so I thought we'd have them on the show.
Well, I see Justin is on here right now, and we're trying to get his partner there. It's Delbert. Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
It's great to see you. Where are you guys located?
I'm in
New York City.
New York. Oh, so it's bi-coastal.
Yes.
So Delbert's in Los Angeles. That's why he's wearing a New York Mets cap.
It's confusing.
Oh, no.
Okay, it all makes sense. And Justin is in New York. Why aren't you wearing a Dodgers cap?
You know, I'm a huge sports fan. All my Dodgers tattoos are covered up on my shirt, so you can't see them right now.
Liar!
Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's great to have you guys on. So tell us about the YouTube Time Machine. How did you come up with this idea?
So it initially began from a very long. I just got one of those handheld projectors, one of those little things you can plug into your iPhone, mm-hmm. And it was like 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, and I had watched like an hour of Michael Jordan videos from 1996, and it was so. I was like, everyone, I'm like, roll another one. Oh, Dennis Rodman, you so crazy. And then I was like, I want more, right? So I'm like, okay, Primal Rage. Like, I love that game in the mid 90s. So I started looking for Primal Rage videos, and as I was doing that, I noticed that on the side, all I saw were more Primal Rage videos, but in reality, what I wanted was more like 1996. So I was recounting this story to Dell, who was visiting for the weekend, and I guess you can take it from there.
Oh, yeah. What did we end up going to the Alligator Lounge for free pizza when you buy a beer? One thing leads to another. He's telling me this. I'm saying, hey, don't forget about the 1995 Orlando Magic. What about Kirby Puckett? What about this? And then that reminiscing just started to turn into, it almost clicked at the same time. We're like, we should capitalize on this as some kind of website, because everybody out there, you know, sits there and sifts through and sifts through and sifts through. And we were like, this should be easier. And then, you know, over the last couple months, that's what we sat down and tried to do. And Justin's been like the most amazing backbone and lungs of pushing this forward with his Michael Jordan love and excitement. So it's been great.
So it all started with sports and rock.
Oh, yeah.
Oddly enough, yes. That's the one, 90, like, the Jordan Bulls era is, like, the time when I was really into it and not really so much now, but it just makes me feel, I feel like I'm 14 and it's a Sunday afternoon and I'm drinking a milkshake. You know, I'm listening to Bryant Gumbel or whoever, and it's just, even like hearing the intro music for the NBA and NBC, I'm just like, I get shivers. I love it.
What amazes me is how far back in time you could go. You know, you really think YouTube, well, it must be all new stuff, but there's stuff from all sorts of eras in here.
Yeah, that's what's really crazy, because the thing about YouTube is there is an astounding amount of content, clearly. And the rabbit hole goes so deep, there's stuff on there you would never find that has like 200 views, but it's maybe a beautiful video of some people riding carriages in 1910.
Wow.
And that stuff no one sees because
it's not Justin Bieber.
For carriage rides.
Right. Yeah, or Justin. right. So how does stuff get in here? I mean, it's not every video on YouTube.
It's all hand selected. It's all curated specifically.
Holy cow.
One of the first things, and that's kind of why, you know, we had the idea in in February, and it's taken this long to launch because so much of searching on YouTube is dead ends and confusion and ugly Windows Movie Maker intros and ugly URL tags. And so I wrote a manifesto for the site for all of our administrators that it's got to have none of that stuff. It's got to be as pure to the year as possible, like original broadcast as possible. And hopefully it gives it a voice that seems a little more authentic than just a search on YouTube where, you know, if you look for 1979, you're going to find Smashing Pumpkins, not
right.
Right.
So you actually have people who are going through. Can people suggest as well if they find videos that they want to be added to, they want added to the time machine?
Yeah, we just added the feature for that. I mean, we're still in alpha. I honestly put this thing on my blog last week.
Tuesday.
My Tumblr on Tuesday, and it just all of a sudden had 250 notes, and it was everywhere. So
wait a minute. So this is a week old?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's still out. I mean, there's so much stuff that's still coming that's going to be awesome, and it spiraled out of control a little bit, but in a good way, I hope.
Yeah, it's in the best way possible.
Have you gotten a tweet from Chad Hurley yet?
I don't think so.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
You would notice that. But yeah. You did get someone pretty famous who mentioned the YouTube Time Machine on their Twitter feed, if you want to tell us about that, because I think you're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, Roger Ebert.
Whoa, yeah. Really?
Yeah, he was pretty... I think he called it Internet Time Machine, but it's okay. And the link was there. And, you know, it was awesome. I grew up, you know, watching him and listening to him and reading about,
absolutely,
you know, his movie reviews. So just for him to mention it, it's an honor.
So is there one video per year at this point?
No, you can see right below the button that says watch next video. It shows you how many you're looking at that year based on the sorting setting. So it really varies. Older years, actually,
I'm on the oldest year right now, 1860, and there's only one, the first sound ever recorded, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, last night I actually went to...
That's the first sound ever recorded. Boy, we've come a long way, baby, huh?
Last night I went to your birth year, actually, Leo, and added a bunch of stuff. So in case
I checked.
You wanted to, check stuff out, it would be there.
Oh, this is cool. My birth year. Grace Kelly was married in 1956, and I can watch that. This is so cool. So are you tracking what people click? Is that... You think they click their birth year most? Or?
I think everybody starts off clicking their birth year just right away. And then middle school, high school, and
Yeah, Eisenhower campaign ad. There's quite a bit. There's 29 videos from my birth year. Thank you for adding all of those.
You don't want to do that for everyone.
So cool. Well, I'd go to the year I graduated from high school, probably be the next thing, right? 1973, Master Charge credit card commercial. This is fantastic. How long did you guys spend culling through videos? This must have taken forever.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it's been the help of a couple dedicated friends and a lot of late nights. And this thing, it's been stealth since February or March when we got the system going. And I'm like, we just have to fill this with as many things as we can to make it fun. And hopefully... It's just when I go out and I look for videos, it's exhausting because we're talking about Roger Ebert. I found an account that had 550 videos of the, you know, Ebert and Robert, and I'm like, I would love to add all these, but I literally did not have time. So I hope someone else finds that and adds them for me.
Well, and a lot of this probably doesn't have date information in there. I mean, you have to depend on the description for what year this is, what date it is.
Well, sometimes, and then we have to watch them all the way through to make sure at the end there isn't some weird URL that pops up.
There's a lot of that on the on YouTube. I get bit by that all the time.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is it actually becomes kind of a scavenger hunt because there's been lots of videos where it's a great video, but it says, like, 1950s commercial. So I go into Google News archives. I go into Wikipedia. I try to see, like, if they say, try this new form of Domino's pizza, I just look up, what's the press release? When did Domino release this kind of pizza? And I can generally get the year. So there's a lot of detective work involved, which actually makes it kind of fun. To all you people out there who like detective work, check out the site because I could use a couple thousand more videos.
I bet. So what did you guys have? Are you guys in school or do you have jobs? I'm just wondering, you've been building or working on this since February, and I'm sure, like you said, it's consumed a ton of your time.
Yeah, I mean, I have a, I'm a filmmaker and I have a full-time job as well. But for something that you like, you know, it's not a bad sacrifice for an hour or two every night to add a couple things. And, it, you know, it's really, it's just a passion project and it's turned into something that other people dig. And I know Dell's got a lot of his own stuff going on too.
Well, just, the way I've done it lately would be just in between emails or sending emails out, I'll go through and try to watch some sport videos or music videos that are I can upload. So that's been pretty great. But then other than that, trying to balance, I work in the entertainment industry, so trying to handle that side of the calendar and do all that stuff, it's been pretty crazy, specifically as of late with the big boom of the website. So it's been rather interesting. But overall, I mean, so far it's an enjoyable experience and I couldn't do it with anybody else better than Justin.
Virtual internet hug here. Well, guys, I think you got something so special and so cool. And I think, you know, among other things, there's an educational value to this. I can imagine schools using this as a way to kind of bring eras to life for students who are studying different eras. This is just a really cool project. YTTM.TV. It's less than a week old, and I have a feeling you guys are going to have to add some server capacity pretty quick. So
I'd say so, too. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Good work on this, and we'll keep an eye on it.
Thank you so much for having us. You.
It's really great to talk to you. Delbert Shoopman and Justin Johnson, YTTM.TV. Good work, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow, that is so cool. I love this, Amber, that you come up with these, you know, people just starting out. I mean, this is what you've always done. You've always, even going back to the original YouTube, which you discovered before anybody else did. And I just think it's really great to highlight these guys and give them a kind of a little launch, a little shove out the door.
They're so passionate about what they do. I mean, I could tell in just their emails. They're like, yes, well, come on. We love Twitch. You know, like exclamation. So, as much as we interview people who are really well-known, it's fun every once in a while to interview those people who are kind of just starting to build something online because who knows where they're going to go. Maybe they'll come up with the next Twitter in a couple of years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very cool. Well, let's get one last link in before we sign off. Don't forget, everybody, Amber MacArthur is at CommandN.TV. That's her great video podcast. You can also watch her on Web Nation, on CPTV, and all over Canada. And her Mac, her blog is AmberMac.com. Am I leaving anything else? She tweets it as Amber Mac as well.
Yeah, you can pretty much go to my blog. I have info there about my book and all the different shows.
Oh, the book. Well, I knew there was something I was missing.
Oh, yeah, the Power Friending has been out for a couple of months, and that all of the information about where to buy the book is on AmberMac.com and links to all the shows. And on Wednesday night, if you're in the Toronto area, we're having a special Toronto International Film Festival edition of Web Nation, and that will be online the next day. So I'll tweet about it because, as I mentioned, we'll have Dana Brunetti from The Social Network on the show, so super excited.
I want to get him back on because we talked with him and Ben Mesrick, who wrote The Accidental Billionaires. It seems like a year ago when they were talking about creating this movie, and now there's so much attention. In fact, I don't know where I read this. Maybe it was TechCrunch. Somebody wrote, I'm starting to feel sorry for Mark Zuckerberg because this is a very negative portrait of the founder of Facebook. And this is what people are going to think he is because, you know, there's nothing competing with it.
Yeah.
Are you going to rush out and see it?
I am. I sure am. I can't wait to see it. I'm getting more excited all the time. I mean, Leo, as you know, the trailers are so good.
It
they
looks
really are.
So good. And yeah, Aaron Sorkin wrote it. You can't go wrong there.
David Fincher is directing it.
Fincher is a great... I mean, it's going to be... When is it? It's coming out soon, right?
October 1st, I believe.
Yeah, you know, we should do an event. Maybe we should have a Toronto-San Francisco event for this.
I think we should do something. So let me talk to Dana tomorrow night and just sort of, scope out his schedule and see if we could do something fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, thank you, Amber. Great show. Let's take you back in time. This is our video of the week, not so long ago, in a Cineplex not so very far away. Good night, Amber. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I live on Tatooine, working for Watto. He just flaps like a buzzing bee. Open my eyes to suns in the sky. See.
So I build a pod, build a droid. Obi-Wan gets annoyed. Where did Qui-Gon Jinn go? Does the light side matter to me? To got a look of deep alarm. Mama, he says that I'm the one. And now he says that I must go away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I don't
she love me.
He pouts like a small boy. In him, what does she see? This sad romance, just a monstrosity.
Laser gun, 3PO, Kenobi, let me grow.
Mace Windu.
No,
we will not let you grow.
Let him grow.
Mace Windu.
We will not let you grow.
Let him grow.
Mace Windu.
We will not let you grow.
Let me grow.
We will not let you grow.
Let me grow.
We will not let you grow.
Let me grow.
Shmeo, mama, shmeo.
Tusken Raiders, let her go. Lord Palpatine has a Tarzan boon aside for me. For me. For me.
So you think you can train me just one more Jedi? So you think you can burn me and leave me to die? Doesn't matter to me.